This show is not for the easily offended, so if you are easily offended, go listen to something else. Comic Book Noise. I'm your host, Derek Howard. Comic Book Noise can be found at comicbooknoise.com. It's a good thing this is the dog days of podcasting, because I've already tried to record this episode 4 times, and if it wasn't for dog days, I would not be putting it out right now. I would just say, you know, fuck it and go about my day. But because it is, I will be putting out an episode today. It's like I have the previous 11 days. What is today's date? Previous 10 days, and I will for the rest of the month of August. Just like a bunch of other podcasters who've been podcasting every day this month and will every day this month. For more details, you can go to dogdaysofpodcasting.com. All right. One of the comic books I've been really looking forward to, since I found out that it was coming out, which isn't, when it was first announced, because I don't pay attention to comic book announcements anymore, but it's the new book by Tom King and Mitch Gerolds, however you pronounce the guy's name. And it is Mr. Miracle, number one. Now, Mr. Miracle is one of those characters who I've always liked. I've always liked the way he looks, you know. A lot of the other, you know, not a lot, but there are a lot of DC characters who stick to, you know, very basic colors. Their color palette, I should say, seems to work together to be pleasing to the eye. You know, you have Blue Beetle, for example, with the differing shades of blue. You have Batman with the blue and the gray, looks pretty good. You have Superman, iconic, you know, the red and the blue. You have Wonder Woman, red, white, and blue. You have Green Arrow with the different shades of green, you know what I mean? All of this is just nice. It's pleasant looking. Then you have Mr. Miracle with this very garish. You know, he's got the red, he's got the yellow, he's got the green. And it's just like his costume is just designed to say, hey, look over here. Here I am. And I've always liked that. I like that Jack Kirby decided, yeah, I'm just going to throw some shit to the wall and see what happens. You know, I like that. Anyway. It seems like every time since the late 70s, whenever there's a Blue Beetle, Jesus, a Mr. Miracle, number one, I grab it. You know? I may not stick with the series, but I always grab it because I just want to see, you know. I even have somewhere around here the special that Steve Rude did. One of the books that are sitting on my table in the to read sooner rather than later pile is like Mr. Miracle 3 from 2005, 2006, something like that. This is not important. This is not important to the rest of the show. You can just go ahead and go past it. Nope, but it's Miracle Man number 2. Came out in 96. I don't think I have that number 1, though. It's one of the few. But anyway, I like the character. He has got a pretty not only interesting backstory, but an interesting present story, you know. His backstory is he is the son of, you have to go to the new gods. A lot of people have heard of Starkseid, if you haven't. I think people who don't read comic books regularly have heard of Darkseid, and if you haven't, keep watching the DC movies when they come out. You'll see Darkseid. But anyway, there's two opposing worlds. There's New Genesis and there's Apocalypse. New Genesis is led by Highfather, and Apocalypse is led by Darkseid. As part of a truce, they swapped sons. You know, the son of Darkseid, named Orion, he went to live with Highfather. Highfather's son, Scott, went to go live with Apocalypse. I guess the basic rationale was you wouldn't attack the other side if, you know, the son of the leader was there. Well, it didn't exactly work out that way. They still stayed at war. But Scott was raised on Apocalypse. He was pretty much tortured and abused for most of his childhood on Apocalypse. He was trained by Granny Goodness, you know. Anyway, he ended up meeting one of Granny's female Furies, which was an elite fighting force of female characters named Big Barda. They ended up falling in love, getting married, coming to Earth. He became a good guy. That's the backstory, right? That's the short version of his backstory. But his present story is when he's not a superhero, he is an escape artist. You know, he gets out of tight fits, you know. And I heard, and I'm not sure, but I heard that Mr. Miracle's, you know, occupation as an escape artist was based on Jim Steranko, the artist. I might have talked about this a long time ago. Anyway, so that's kind of cool because he's one of the few superheroes who actually has a job that's directly related to his superheroing without being a superhero for hire, like Luke Cage or Booster Gold. You know, Booster Gold at one time. I don't know what Booster Gold does nowadays. So, you know, I like that. Anyway, so you have a character that I like, okay? An artist in Mitch Gerolds, who I'm really not that familiar with. I don't know if I've ever read any of his work before. It reminds me of a guy who was on, Maleev. It reminds me a lot of Alex Maleev, who was on Daredevil with Bendis for a while. Anyway, so you have a check mark for in the good column and an unknown column. And then you have Tom King. Now, Tom King is the writer, and Tom King is like a very hot writer right now. I believe he has a DC exclusive. And he is, I think he was on Batman for a while. I don't read Batman, so I don't know. But he wrote The Vision for Marvel. And there are a lot of similarities between Vision number one and Mr. Miracle number one. So I had a friend who gave me his digital code for Mr. Miracle number one, right? Because he read the book and he was like, "Have you read it yet?" It's like, "Nope." It's like, "Here, use this code." He was really excited, and he He didn't want to sway me, just like I'm trying not to sway anybody here by giving me any spoilers. He didn't tell me anything about the book. He didn't even tell me whether he liked it or not. He just said, here, use this code. Use the code. I read it, and I had the exact same feeling when I read Vision Number One, okay? Which is, okay, this is kind of, don't want to use that word. Crap, that's the only one I can think of. This is very Pulling Daisies, okay? Now, there's a TV show called Pulling Daisies. It came out a few years ago. And I had a lot of friends who liked it. I watched that first episode and I was like, oh, this is not good. This is technically proficient, you know? The writing is telling a story, yes. And that's how I felt about all three of these things. Pushing Daisies, number one. The first episode of Pushing Daisies. The Vision, number one. And Mr. Miracle, number one. Right? It's like, this is very technically proficient. It's trying to be stylized. I don't think this is going to be for me. Right? But I stuck with Pushing Daisies, and it became, you know, a really good show, right? I don't think I could ever go back and watch that first episode. It was the first episode just really rubbed me the wrong way. But after that, it was like, all right, yeah, I can get into this. And I saw every episode. Read the first issue of The Vision. I was just like, oh, geez, okay. Read the second one. It's like, all right. Then around the third, I was like, this is actually pretty good. And every issue after that, I read, and it was just like building up to the end, building up to the end. It's like, wow, okay, this is good. I was reading on another friend's account, and it's funny because the Tom King's run on The Vision only lasted, I want to say, 10 issues, 12 issues, something like that. And my friend had all of them in his Comixology account, except for the last issue. So I actually had to wait until those issues came out on Marvel Unlimited before I could finish the story. And I really liked it, okay? Probably one of the best things out that year. So when I read Mr. Miracle and I was considerably underwhelmed, I stopped. I said, okay, I'm going to read it again. Now, I rarely read comic books two times in one sitting, you know. I rarely, I have so many comic books. There's some I've read once and that's it, right? And to sit down and read it, read one, and then restart it. It's just out of character for me, right? It's like watching a movie twice. You know, why bother? Right? Unless it's like Sunday afternoon. You have nothing better to do, right? Or for some reason, I keep watching. Every time Suicide Squad comes on, I watch it. On HBO. I still want the extended cut. But every time it comes on, doesn't matter what I planned on doing, I sit down and I watch it until I say, hey, I gotta go. So I've seen the movie in the theaters all the way through. And even though, like I said, I rarely watch movies a second time, or TV shows hardly ever, right? I keep watching that damn movie. Anyway, so I decided to read it all over again, right? And the second time I got it. First time seemed a little scattershot. It seemed like a lot of cutscenes. It actually seemed like not exactly a Howard Chaykin book. Because Howard Chaykin, for those of you who don't know, what he does in the first issue or the first part. Yeah, go with the first issue of his stories. Is it seems like a bunch of random scenes just put together. You know, it doesn't matter if it's like 8 pages in The Black Kiss or what, 21 pages of The Shadow. You know, it's nonsensical until you get to the end, and then you can read the whole story and it all makes sense, right? Or one of those heist films from the 70s, from the early 70s, you know, or something that Robert Altman would do, where it's just like the scene, what the hell, I don't understand this. Oh, wait a minute, this is the guy from, okay, this part here, all right, so what they're saying, okay, that's how it was. Read the first time, made absolutely little sense to me. I read it the second time and I was like, oh, okay. All right, so this, all right. I felt myself like, okay, now I get it. You know, and I wanted to tell my friend, and hopefully he's listening, read it again. Read it a second time. Right? In fact, what you should do, because I know you already read it once, read it again, and then when you get done, read it again. Like 2 times in a row, boom, you'll get it. Now you're probably thinking, well, is it really good storytelling if you have to read it twice? I think so. Because one of the big criticisms of modern day comic books is that they can be read extremely fast, right? Even this one, which is very dense with dialogue and images, and actually theme, if you really think about it, once you read it the second time, you see what I mean. But if you can read the same story twice and get something different from it immediately, to me that's a pretty good story, right? Because what it does is it basically takes expectations that you had the first time around, says, okay, this is what you think's going on, or if you don't understand this part, read it again, totally fresh, you know, totally not fresh eyes, but at the same time, not, I guess, experienced eyes, you know? I mean, because the first time you read it, you don't know. And you don't know what you don't know until you read it a second time. You know? I don't know. Anyway. Well, I said no a lot of times. Read it a second time. I think you'll get it. You know? At least I got it. But I can only speak for me. Anyway, one thing I did notice, one thing I've been noticing a lot, if you're listening to the Dog Days feed, then you know that Comic Book Noise is not the only comic book show in the feed. Craig Stepp, the mastermind behind, the evil mastermind, I guess, behind Dog Days of Podcasting, has one also in the feed. And it is probably the best one in the feed that I would totally say, right? But one thing he's been doing as he's been going over these really old comics, not old, I mean, they're from the 70s, so they're not that old. They can drink, but yeah, who can't? He's also been talking about the ads that are in the book. So I've been paying a lot closer attention to the ads in modern comics. And I think he'd be sorely disappointed because most of the ads in the comic books I've been reading are house ads, you know, ads for other things, except for maybe one full page ad that's for a movie. You know, it's weird, because this is something I hadn't really noticed, because a lot of ads are just like television commercials. They're just, not only are they there to, I guess, help offset the cost of the books or the television show, but it's also to give a break in the storytelling, you know? And so that's what these things do. but they're not ads. This is really weird. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there and give a little plug to Craig Stepp. And I guess, you know, I'll see you everybody tomorrow, because tomorrow is episode 800. There's another friend who does a show on the, I'll save that for another day. Anyway, right now, I'm done making a lot of noise. Hold up. I always do this. I used to do this with my phone all the time. Okay, now I can do it. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. I guess for now, I'm done making a lot of noise. A lot of comic book noise. Take it easy.